We'll start with a Pledge of Allegiance led by Bernie Melvin.
Please face the flag and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. So we're all present, and tonight's agenda is presented to us. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Consent calendar. We have our minutes from Monday, March 21st. Does anyone have any questions or changes on these minutes?
I had one change. On page 4, paragraph B, starts out with Teft wanted to reinstate, and I believe that what I was doing, at least initially, was simply pointing out to the commission what the changes were between the draft and the final report, that these two items, Vision H1 and the Environmental Advisory Council, had been deleted, and suggesting it as a discussion item, suggesting the changes as a discussion item.
So do you have a phrase that you'd like to propose?
Teft noted that the final draft Vision 2020 report differed from the preliminary draft in the deletion of Vision H1, which discouraging hunting on the bay, and the advocation of an formation of an environmental advisory council. Was that too fast?
Does that sound okay to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Any other changes?
I have a change.
Excuse me. I have a change in the same item, item B, the last sentence. It says he also suggested B3.3 include a reference to encouraging industries to support those who reside in affordable housing. And what I actually meant to say, and what I would recommend that it be changed to, is he also suggested include a reference encouraging large proposed commercial projects recognize impacts on affordable housing demand and work with the city to provide it.
Bill, turn on your mic. Bill, could you turn on your mic?
Please turn your mic on.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Could we just have a copy of that from Commissioner Melvin?
Thank you.
Okay.
And there was one item that was brought up at the caucus today, and that was what the city attorney said at the last meeting. On page 2, third paragraph, starts with McCandless asked of agenda. If you go over the second sentence, Schwartz said no, but, and then strike out the words without. That's hard to read. It's so struck out. I can't even see it. Without in the second word. And replace it with no action can be taken unless there is adequate public notice and information is provided to make an informed decision.
There you go.
So this is just pointing out that the notice was necessary. We could add that in.
That's good. That's a lot better.
Well, I would comment that whoever did these minutes had a knack for pulling out the bald statement. They quoted me as saying, McCandless said hunting is not a planning issue. I'm not sure I like the sound of that now, but I do recall saying something like that. But all right. Are there any other changes that anyone would propose? Okay. So are all these changes? Were you going to speak up?
I make a motion we accept the minutes as amended.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so we're moving on to written communications. Do we have any this evening?
The only thing there was the letter, but that really pertains to 918 Mesa, the first hearing item.
And we did all receive that. That's from Valerie Levulet. I hope I pronounced that right. Okay, so now we move on to Section 7 of the agenda, and that's presentations. This is a time for informal presentations to be made to the Commission by individuals, groups, or organizations which are of a civic nature and relate to public planning issues and that warrant a longer time than oral communications will provide. Do we have any presentations tonight, Greg?
No, we do not.
Okay. So if you are thinking about making them, we typically like them to be limited to 15 to 20 minutes. So for your future planning, we'd like to hear from you. Next are oral communications, and this is the time for members of the audience wishing to address the commission on matters other than scheduled hearing items. To do so now, please stand and state your name and address, and limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Deliberately planned efficiency in the development of communities and their interaction with environments and communities abroad. If Morro Bay is to interact with the rest of the world as a tourist destination resort community, deliberate planning for that purpose must be implemented and followed through to completion. Commonly reoccurring criteria contributing to the definition of smart growth are as follows: a balance of resources, infrastructure, facilities, and services to support use and consumption increases caused by territorial expansion, population increases, and environmental impacts. Another is energy and resource efficiency, such as insulation, wind generators, photovoltaic systems, thermal towers, energy-saving devices, water-saving devices, etc. Also, taller, denser, mixed-use development strategically placed along public transit corridors and highway or expressway systems, usually situated in commercial districts like downtowns or near malls, to reduce the amount of driving needed to sustain household needs while supporting the local retail tax base. Reference to parking is almost always multi-level, subterranean, or both, most often featuring retail, office, or occasionally residential components to minimize the appearance of the primary use, which is parking. Also, references to parking in smart development dialogue is always referred to as paid public parking or private parking. Public transportation such as light rail systems, shuttles, and cable cars serve not only to increase access while saving energy and lowering pollution, these systems are also developing aesthetic characteristics to entice ridership as an attraction. Urban forestation provides windbreaks, rain breaks, shade, and beauty while enhancing air quality. Traffic management strategies for smart growth stress through streets on grid layouts, frequent highway on and off ramps, and over and underpasses to connect neighborhoods, developing a cohesive, seamless community. And finally, a vast, diversified tax base of industrial, commercial, and service enterprises is necessary to sustain the support of municipal burden brought on by growth to the area. That is the definition of smart development by planning officials across the state and beyond. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. Mm-hmm. Any other people wish to speak tonight?
Only where the hall hired a professional orchestra and two professional soloists to sing along with them. They practice again and again. There's an article in the paper, the Tribune, this morning, from Chris Unger, one of the trustees of the school board, and you get a little more detail there. But they were selected amongst 34 applicants. 3 schools were chosen, one in North Carolina, one in Ohio, and, of course, our choir with the 2 cities. This is the billing. And they saved the last for best, if you notice they're down the bottom there. All the choirs joined together in the grand finale, so to speak, Durafoy's Requiem, which is beautiful. This is the hall itself. This is your choir.
That's them on stage?
That's them on stage with Gary Lamprick, their director. Later on, the orchestra joined them and the other choirs. The conductor was the conductor of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for this joint venue, and the 2 soloists are sitting near him as well. But it was an amazing evening. It was really impressive. And those kids, they worked 5 to 6 hours a day practicing while they're in New York, not to mention Thursday night practices, practicing separately, practicing together, and it was beautiful. You can be very proud of your children.
Well, thank you for bringing that to us, and we've got some audience members waving in approval, and thanks for bringing those photographs to us. I hadn't seen them. We're certainly proud of our Morro Bay students and musicians.
One question on a little more personal note. Would you by any chance have somebody personally that we should be very proud of?
Yes, my son Chris.
Or you
congratulations
just
to you and to him.
Will there be CDs available that we can buy?
Yes, there will be CDs available. I guess they're going to give them to the choir members. I suppose they could burn some and have
I
them
think
available.
It'd be a great fundraiser, and I sure would buy one.
Oh, okay. I'll mention that.
Pass that on. We'll be glad to make them available during our Planning Commission meetings. All right. So are there any other oral communications this evening? Anybody? Okay, we'll close that and move on to future agenda items. This evening we have two items that were brought to the agenda at our last meeting. The first one is General Plan, Local Coastal Plan Policy Discussion related to bulk scale and preservation. We spoke about this and we came up with a strategy to bring these forward one at a time, one per meeting, in a discussion only, no action to be taken format, and it's really just an opportunity for all of us to be up here and talk about these issues together in a public forum, and that we did want to allow the public to come and participate in our discussion. We were thinking that in order to keep the meetings moving along, that we might assign a time frame for each one of these discussions of about 15 or 20 minutes. So if anybody else would like to talk about this, and talk and perhaps propose which one of these we would like to discuss first, and then we want to hear from staff how that'll fit into our agenda, line up next meeting, all that kind of stuff. So, Bernie?
Excuse me. Thank you. I propose the discussion related to bulk scale and preservation of neighborhood character simply because that's an issue that we seem to be dealing with, and we're going to be dealing with it more and more. There's an awful lot of information in the zoning ordinance, general plan, and the local coastal plan, and I think I'd like to make that part of the discussion. So basically to get the planning commissioners familiarized with what we already have, kind of identify their feelings, and also in the future get some information from staff as to how we can best use that information in our decision-making capacity. So these are both real important issues, mm-hmm. I think. So.
Yeah, and the second one was common open space, and wasn't that you, Bob, who brought that up?
That was my suggestion that we work towards maybe a better definition of what that means, mm-hmm. Since we have none at the moment. but I think they're both important, and I wouldn't necessarily advocate to put that one first or second, you know, so whatever order we get to them in is works for me.
Greg, do we have projects coming up that either of these two issues will be a key point in?
Yes, common open space will be a topic of discussion, one coming up.
So that might be a reason to put that one first. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, who knows when bulk and scale will come up. That'll come up almost
always.
Anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
That's
so.
Always.
Constantly.
Yeah. Well, given that, will that be on our next agenda? We have item B, what's now item B, be switched to item A, and have that be an active agenda item for our next meeting. And like I said, we'll be expecting to spend 15 or 20 minutes just in open general discussion between the planning commissioner, staff. We'll have an opportunity for the public to participate if anyone's interested in commenting. It's just for discussion. We're not going to make any resolutions or action. It's just for everybody to sort of get comfortable with these very complex issues.
Question.
Yes.
Should we put it on the agenda as a public hearing item with the notation no action, discussion only, no action to be taken, simply to let the public know that we will be taking input from them?
Anybody?
You know, I think that we could do the same thing by having it under new business and maybe having some phraseology that indicates that we will open this up to the public, but we will not be taking any action. The only reason I would say that, when you have a public hearing item, the public assumes that you're going to take some sort of official action. So.
I like the sound of that.
Okay.
Then if we could just put a notation that public comment will
yes.
be taken.
Yes, yeah, I think that's very important.
Encouraged.
Okay. You got all that, Greg?
Yes.
Okay. So let's move ahead from future agenda items to public hearings. Boy, we're on a record here. 23 minutes into the meeting, we're already public hearings. Our first public hearing item is continued from our last meeting, March 21st. The site location is 918 Mesa Street, and the applicants are Troy and Heather League. And Greg, I think Mike Prater is the planner on this.
That's correct. Thank you, Madam Chairperson. In a discussion a little earlier this evening, the applicant's agent indicated they might wish this to be continued, so perhaps we might save a great deal of time if we ask them to want to do that, but I would open it to public hearing in case anybody wants to make any input to it.
Okay. Is there anyone present who would like to come up and speak on the 918 Mesa Street project?
Good evening, Chair and Commission. Kathy Novak representing Heather and Troy League. At Heather and Troy's request, I'm here this evening to ask for a continuance due to family issues on this project. We're not asking for dates.
Not here and wish it to be continued. Can I be notified? May I ask to be notified when this does come before you so I can be present to voice an opposition
if you
to
would.
The project as it's currently presented?
We can do that. Just provide us your name and address.
Okay. So finally, there is a reason for signing in. Huh? Welcome back, Miss Nancy. Hope you had a good time. And I thank you for letting me appear. Have a good meeting.
Thanks, Roger. All right. Seems how those are the only two people in the room. I know. Do we have a motion to continue?
I make a motion we continue this item.
I'll second that.
Okay. Do we need? Can we just say all in favor?
Yes.
Yeah. All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So item B then is 845 and 855 Embarcadero, and the applicant is Joseph Steinman, and the staff contact is Greg Cummings. Greg.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Let me get that one up. There we go. This is a permit to allow what was actually a condition of approval to a previous approval for what's known as the Auto Rock Cafe. At that time when it was constructed, there was no ability to provide a continuous lateral access to the adjacent properties. They didn't exist at that time, the other lateral access ways. So the applicant has applied for meeting that condition and putting in the lateral access way. Given that, it's located down near the end of Harbor Street. This is the concept plan that was approved. There was a concept plan, precise plan required for this because it was a planned development overlay district. The pier shown here is next door on the boatyard property, or lease site, I should say, more correctly. And then a dock was proposed coming along the frontage of the Otter Rock. And there's an existing, well, it's a dining area now. I think it was originally intended to be the lateral access in the future. But it will remain basically as it is. And then there's proposed to be lateral access constructed here with more dining on the outside in the concept and the program. So this is the outside outline of the existing building. This was the proposed addition. I don't think it shows very well. There's a shaded area here that shows where the lateral access way would be, and then the dock showing up in this area. And the concept plan, there are elevations that basically show how to work. Here's the lateral access way extending out quite a distance, and the dock coming from the adjacent boatyard property and connecting in front of the project site. On the far side is the galley restaurant. So one would be able to walk from the lateral access way that exists now in the boatyard to the front of the Yada Raw Cafe, then across the galley, then connect on back to the continuous access. It's a site photo of the area that's showing that existing floating dock and the ramp down. It's taken from the boatyard property where it's has the access that goes presently in this way. The proposal is to come out and around this area here. This is the galley restaurant next door. As you know from the previous approval, this project will be removed, and there will be a lateral access that's been required to be established on this, so the two of them must connect together as requirements. Also, I believe it's also a requirement of the lease agreement as well. Now, the precise plan was changed because the Coastal Commission would not permit dining to be extended over the water because it's not a coastal-dependent use such as lateral access is or the boat docking facilities. So they required that the access be narrowed down to 10 feet for pedestrian use. And because of a greater concern they had for the eelgrass in the area, they narrowed the width of the floating dock that's out here, so it's not as wide, neither is the access way. And also they required that there be some ability for light to penetrate through the dock in some manner. Now, I guess there's a number of possible methods this could be done. And indeed, I was walking this past 2 weeks ago over some clear glass that one could look right down through it. I can't remember what that was right now, but they do have that kind of potential besides just having an open grate system as well. So the coastal permit was obtained across the frontage and will eventually connect up with the galley. This is the floating dock that's shown. Now, I could probably have the consultant explain some of this, but they're hoping to time the improvements with the galley restaurant for when the new pilings are put in for the work being done here as well as for the galley restaurant as well, and do the connection all at once. And the concept is to have the same type of railing that there is, basically the metal railing with the wood cap on top. That's another southern perspective. There were a few environmental issues with the eelgrass, as I stated before. There was a need to have an otter water watcher for the southern sea otter. And the applicant did already agree to mitigate those measures. The environmental document was already approved. And just a comment there, the Coastal Commission did reduce the scope of this. So the recommendation by staff is to approve the precise plan for CUP 2802, subject to the findings and conditions, including Exhibits A and B, and the site development plan's related information on file with the Public Service Department, dated February 24, 2005. With that, I'd answer any questions, and I believe the applicant's agent also wishes to speak to the topic as well, the subject as well.
Thank you, Greg. Does anyone have questions for staff?
I have one. Greg, I'm sorry, I have just a very small plan here. So I was wondering, the portion of the accessway that connects the boatyard access to this access.
Yes.
What's the width on that? I just can't tell from this.
I did bring the other plans myself. I don't remember. It was like 6 to 8 feet, I can't call at this point. Do you remember? 8 feet? 8 feet.
It is 8 feet. Okay.
Anyone else?
Just a clarification, Greg, and we did discuss this a little bit at our caucus, that public access from the Embarcadero to the accessway will also continue to be provided through the restaurant?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
Thank you.
Anybody?
I was wondering whether the continuation of the outdoor walkway was going to be seamless with the proposed project that the galley is has approved.
Say, but they do plan to have it connect in that manner and have a uniform theme going through there.
Anyone else? Okay, well, if we're done asking questions of staff, we'd like to invite the applicant to step forward at this time.
hate following Roger, and the mic's always up in the air. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. Kathy Novak again, representing the applicant Joseph Steinman on the Otter Rock project. I'd like to thank staff for their time and consideration on this project, and I think Greg's done a great job at explaining a few things about the project to you. Basically, I just wanted to let you know a little bit of background information on this. We did go to submit an application to the Coastal Commission last May, and we received Coastal Commission approval of January of this year. So we did spend a lot of time at the Coastal Commission trying to work out a number of these issues. Most of the issues were regarding the eelgrass beds that are located behind the Otter Rock. So the reduction in the project really comes from protecting the eelgrass beds and coming up with a mitigation plan to take care of those things. As noted in the staff report, there's no lighting, no signage, and no landscaping associated with this project, which typically we would be addressing in the precise plan. I'll kind of dispense with everything else and make this really brief, and I want to be able to open myself up to questions specifically of you. But a couple things that I'd like to, what I heard you ask staff, wanted to clarify. Bernie, yours question about the public access through the restaurant. There will be a doorway to exit the Otter Rock, both into the boatyard or also onto the lateral access way behind the Otter Rock. But there is no, quote, public access. It's not a designated public access way. The Coastal Commission, when they were looking at this project, they took away that component of the original coastal development permit because of the look with the galley going in and also with the Otter Rock. But the public will be able to walk through the restaurant. If there's a patron in the restaurant and wants to walk out to the lateral access way, there will be a doorway for them to do that. So hopefully that clarifies that part. And as far as the galley goes, the connection between the galley and the Otter Rock, the galley's project basically on that section next to the Otter Rock is their driveway, and then they have a deck where their driveway ends and then goes out to connect with their lateral access that they're putting on out there. So we will be making this connection to the galley and their open space deck area where their lateral access way is going to be starting. Actually, theirs will be out a little further into the bay than ours is. We'll be back a little bit. But we're going to have a 10-foot lateral access along the back of the Otter Rock and then make the corner and hook up to the boatyard. And the same thing when we make the connection between the Otter Rock and the boatyard, we'll make a smooth transition so we don't have any problems with ADA issues. As far as the floating dock goes, what we're going to be doing is I'll back up for half a sec talking about the lateral access way. In the lateral access way, they have the Coastal Commission wants some sort of a light penetration in the lateral access way for the eelgrass. They've also required us to drive piles underneath the lateral access way to support that lateral access way, and then additionally we'll be driving piles to support the floating dock. But what we're looking at right now is there's a company called Seagrate. They make kind of a plastic grating system that you can put in the lateral access way. We're looking at the idea of going with precast concrete so we can put these grating systems in. The engineer's working on it right now. We haven't really decided which way we're going to go. We're working with the galley folks to find out what they're going to be putting in. Our concern with putting in some sort of a glass or plexiglass system over a grate to allow the light would be safety. When it gets damp with the fog, somebody might slip on it. So our engineer is looking into all these issues, and we're going to, you know, make safety one of our big things, too. But we will meet the requirement for the providing the penetration, light penetration. On the floating dock, what we're going to be doing is every 20 feet, we'll be putting in a metal grate system that will stretch the width of the dock. The floating dock will be 6 feet wide, so we'll have these 2-foot grates in between to allow light on the floating dock. So that's how we're going to accomplish the requirement for getting the light penetration through the floating dock. That's about all I can think of right at the moment, so I'd be open to answering any other questions that you might have.
Thanks, Kathy. Do we have any questions? Yes.
Kathy, doesn't the galley have to demolish their existing structure before they can start construction on the ocean side of this of their project for this sequence to take place? In other words, what I'm getting at is, why are we being asked to approve this in such a timely manner when it appears to me, just from my own value judgment, is that we've got time to play around here? and we could wait around here. We, as a body, could wait until your engineering got done with all of these criteria of which you just mentioned, and come back in a month and
permit, so that when we're ready to drive piles, we've got all of our permits in place. Mm-hmm. So it's not as fast as everybody thinks and holding off on something. So I'm, like I say, I'm planning to try to play catch up right now on time.
How much time have you got? Do you know?
Not a whole lot, really. I haven't talked to the Andersons lately to find out where they're at. I know that they were having some issues at the Coastal Commission with their working drawings, but I think that they were trying to get that resolved shortly. So I've got to get my working drawings up to the Coastal Commission hopefully this week so that we can start getting those approved up there. I don't see our working drawings being as complicated as the galleys, so there's not much of a much of a time up there. But all these pieces have to fit together in order for us to be able to get our permit and be ready to go. What we're trying to do, really, by working with the galley is to minimize the impacts. With pile driving and all of these different things, it would be better if we could just come in and have them start at one end and continue on down to the next lease site.
That's certainly a noble goal, sure.
So,
any other questions for Kathy?
Yeah, you mentioned that there's not going to be any exterior lighting, and I was just curious how this area is going to be illuminated after dark in terms of just public safety, people tripping, and that sort of thing.
We're going to have the lights on the inside of the Otter Rock right now. We just didn't plan for any additional lighting on the outside. We felt that the lighting on the inside would illuminate the area. The galley is going to have some, I'm sure, out there on their end, and then the boatyard does have a few out there also. So we just didn't feel that there was a need to add additional lighting. We were afraid of with the additional glare that would just didn't really make sense. We were trying to avoid that impact.
What about when the restaurant's closed?
They close at 2 a.m.
Well, I understand that, but... Okay.
You know, after you know, somebody wandering around after 2 a.m., I don't... You know, doesn't sound too logical.
No, I have a concern that obviously businesses change with time. Businesses change more frequently than buildings are rebuilt. And many restaurants in town are will be dark certain nights of the week. And my concern would be, you know, given that sort of scenario, that we would might have a public safety issue with no exterior lighting.
The commission is really concerned about that. We can take a look at trying to illuminate it somehow. I don't really. Typically, there's not any lighting down on the docks, because then you've got to get your electrical down there and all that kind of stuff. And the way that we've got the floating docks designed, it's coming from the boatyard.
I would do it from the deck above. I would not go down on the boat area. I would keep it up on the walkway area, and just any spill that would come down should suffice down at the dock, seems to me.
Okay. I'm just typically the docks don't have any lights other than what's existing in the area up above, and a concern for running electrical wires underneath the boardwalk and things like that. It's always kind of a little bit of an issue.
I had just quick comment. I'm wondering, we're spending a lot of time talking about public safety and people walking back and forth on this boardwalk or whatever it is. Unless I'm misunderstanding something, it doesn't sound like it's going to have a lot of traffic on it. I mean, there's not going to be much access unless you go there by the Otter Rock, right?
Actually, the access will start at the foot of Harbor Street, so somebody could start at foot of Harbor Street, walk behind the galley, the new galley.
The new galley they can walk past.
They'll walk behind the Otter Rock, and then also behind the boatyard complex, where the Chamber of Commerce has its office now, and where you would hit a dead end is at the Outrigger Cafe.
So that will actually then connect all three of them.
Right.
And a boardwalk thing.
And this
so
was
you,
a part
we are
of
talking about more people than probably using it.
This was a part of the original lease a number of years ago when the project was permitted, that at which time either the boatyard complex was built or the galley redeveloped and built a public access way. It was required for the Otter Rock to come in and build a lateral access way to connect all three of those together.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bernie?
No. So I'll take care of it.
Okay. Kathy, I did have a question, sort of adding on to what they're already talking about. Do you know what the policy is for public access to these walkways? Now that they're becoming connected, I think it's going to become more of an issue in terms of time of night and lighting, the restaurants that have been overflowing out onto them. I think it'll be more of an issue now that there'll be more people using these walkways. Do you have any sense of a discussion about managing these walkways or what the city policy overall is in planning this? Could you talk a little about that?
I think that's on the Embarcadero down right. to the lateral access way. But we do have that close proximity now with on being on the north side of the galley and then also through the middle of the boatyard complex. I'd like to see the city start to address the liability issues because, like you say, more and more we're starting to come up with the lateral access ways being built. In fact, when I just recently submitted a project for the Harbor Hut, Great American Fish Company, and Verges, and we're proposing a lateral access way that's going to actually be on the floating dock. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have quite a few more of these projects that are going to be coming forward to the commission and the city that's going to have these access ways. So
it
would
be
nice
to have. Like up till this point, all of the discussion and policy has been on the physical design of getting these access ways in place, and it's just now going to start to become an issue, the management of these spaces. Is that right?
Pretty much the management as far as the actual physical repair is left up to the lease site holders.
Is it? And in terms of, I guess I'm just sort of thinking about it as a safety or people being back there in the middle of the night. You know, I know that there isn't a good visibility for patrols to be able to see. I mean, it's really sort of a dark and murky place at night.
It can be. And even with lights back there still, it's, you know, the police department really can't see back there unless they actually were to get out of their car, unless they go down to the foot of Harbor Street, get out of the car and actually physically walk so that they could stand behind the galley and look down the back side down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how to address those issues either.
I know there's a great sensitivity to the idea of shining light out over the water. That's absolutely not appropriate. So this whole lighting issue, I think I will want to discuss it up here with everybody and just try and get a little bit more input. I did have some more questions for you, if I could just continue. Some of those, not these those properties, but I know that some of the waterfront properties do a little bit of landscaping on the revetment to try and soften that hard, rocky look. Are you going to be doing that, or you just don't have it at this time? Or
no, we don't have anything on because all the revetment for the Otter Rock will be underneath the boardwalk, so you won't be able to see it unless you're standing on the floating dock looking back in.
Okay, but looking from the water side, has there been any discussion about what that's going to look like?
No, there's not, and there's really not any convenient way to try to do any landscaping there. The revetment, the way that it sits, it's on the northern side of the lease site now, it's pretty much solid rocks, but on the Otter Rock Cafe at the back end back there, there needs a little extra support, but for the most part, it's cement down there now or rocks.
Okay. And then the issue of no signage, have you just not gotten to that, or is there going to be no signage in other, I think it was the galley, we did ask for a condition to be added to at least put a sign up directing people that the public access was this way, and are you thinking about anything like that?
No, well, actually, yes, we did. We thought about it, but we're not proposing anything because we've got signage at the boatyard, we're going to have signage at the galley. And since we're going to be the ones in between,
in the middle,
it really didn't make any sense because nobody's going to be in the middle of the boardwalk without going through a sign first pointing in that direction.
Okay.
You know, we could eventually put something on the inside of the galley, or excuse me, the Otter Rock, you know, telling people the door is open for them to go out on the lateral access way. But other than that, we felt that there wasn't really any need for only being 50 feet and sandwiched between the others. It wasn't necessary.
I understand. And then this issue about the restaurant versus the lateral use. It sounds like the Coastal Commission narrowed the walkway width, so will there be absolutely no tables out there at all?
Right. Actually, what it was originally proposed is we would have 8 feet of additional outdoor dining and then an 8-foot lateral access way. The Coastal Commission said no more outdoor dining, so we will have the actual building of the Otter Rock will be solid except for the door that will lead from the inside of the restaurant to the lateral access way. And the Coastal Commission has conditioned it such that we will have a 10-foot lateral access way. So it's clear in the Coastal Commission permit that there is no more outdoor dining. So it is impossible, unless you violate the Coastal Commission permit, to put any kind of dining out there.
Okay. So that won't be an issue on this one. And then the railing, do you know yet the detail of what your railing is going to look like?
We're working with the folks at the galley, because what we would like to do is provide continuity back there. The galley, the last time I had talked to the Andersons and their architects, they were looking at trying to install the same type of railing that the city had done at the foot of Harbor Street, and that's their idea. So we would want to do the same thing just to provide continuity all the way across.
Is that the more open metal and cable system, or is it metal and vertical metal slat, or is it the heavy wood system that's behind the dock?
It's got a wood cap with a vertical metal.
It's that galvanized metal one.
Right.
Yeah, because the boatyard.
Sure, I'll go first. I've listened to this about additional lighting and all of that down there and what happens when the restaurant's closed and so on. And then in listening to Sarah talk about the safety issues, I really begin to think that additional lighting might invite people into a situation that would not necessarily be safe for them. We're talking about restaurants, the Otter Rock, at least I know, that serve alcoholic beverages until early in the morning. And I think if it were too well lit down there and people were encouraged to go down there late at night, that it certainly is asking for trouble. And this whole liability issue, I know, is way beyond this board, but I agree that somebody has to begin to look at that and see what they think about it. So I think probably the lighting from the restaurant's going to be enough, and during the day people can walk along out there and enjoy it.
Thanks, Nancy. Bernie?
Yeah, I too have some concerns about lighting, and I differ with the previous comments a little bit. I think when you look at lighting in an area, it actually can add security. And I'm not talking about large spotlights. I see the need for very low level lighting. We have to also remember that this is a destination resort. One reason that the city and the Coastal Commission are requiring applicants to provide this lateral access is to bring people into the area. And that creates problems for the city. It creates problems for some of the lessees. But lighting, in my mind, adds security. It also makes it easier for folks to negotiate those areas. You know, whether we want people in that area or not, they're going to come. And it should be lighted in a very low level so they can see where they're going. I would also say that the access between the galley and the boatyard on both ends should be seamless. I think that it's very clear that we want that from a, you know, ADA, just make it easier for people and also for necessarily get out of their cars. Having a presence is a great deterrent, whether it's a security or the regular the PD. So again, I think that's something that I see in the eventuality in the future that there's going to be the need for that. I think that's it. I have no concerns with this project.
Thanks, Bernie. Bill?
Well, I like the project too. I'm very happy to see that access way, and I'm happy to see that in this day and age of budget crises that we're able to get something like this done. I think the more that we have down there, the more improvements that we have down in the Embarcadero area, I think that the city's better off. It's a better attraction for tourists, and I think it's a win-win-win. So I'm happy to see this project come to us and improve it. for me to approve it anyway. I do think that it's important that we adhere very rigorously to ADA criteria, and I don't see it in any of the attachments as a criteria, and it seems to me that any motion that's made, we should add that as a criteria. Do you have an opinion on that,
yes,
sir?
Yes, building will address that in the building plans, the ADA.
You would?
Yes.
Okay.
No, building division will.
As a requirement?
Yes.
Okay, and then I'm an alumni of Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, which used to be Los Angeles Bureau of Light, Power and Light. So light to me is always favorable, and I like light, and I have always been pounded through my career that light provides safety, provides attractive ability for enjoyment of areas that maybe you wouldn't otherwise be able to without light. So I would like to add as well a requirement for exterior lighting on the pedestrian access way. And the last thing that I would like to see, and I hope the commission, I don't know that, but it seems to me that it should be seamless.
Thanks, Phil. Bob?
Yes, I also am very supportive of this project. I think that a continuous lateral access way along the bay is going to be a huge asset for Morro Bay, and I'm happy to see that we're able to take a couple more steps in that direction. I think that's great. I agree on the lighting issue that, you know, when people do bad things, they go where it's dark to do them. They don't go where it's lighted to do them. And so, you know, I think that even if the lights are not much used because of the restaurant illumination, I think that capability would be nice. And, you know, I can even think of the, and with appropriate glare controls, and if illumination on the bay is an issue, perhaps the lights could even be installed in the railing so that they just shine down onto the walkway and away from the bay. So I think there's some options there. I would like to see a condition in our permitting process that says that we're not going to have outdoor eating and drinking tables in the area so that it becomes a code enforcement issue for the city as well. That's obviously redundant to what the Coastal Commission has said, but I'd like to see it in there. And the other thing I'd like to bring up is, and maybe this is too small of a detail for the Planning Commission, but should we be requiring a public trash container somewhere on that, in that access? I know there are some over in the boatyard side, but I'd like to see some going on down towards the street as well. So those would be my comments.
Thanks. I'll just add on to what you were just saying. I was just down at this waterfront area this week with a guest from out of town. We rode our bicycles down to the Embarcadero. We went down to look at the salmon boats coming in with their meager catches and rode back along the Embarcadero. We were hot and thirsty, looking for a place to get down to the waterfront and be able to buy a Coke and sit on a bench. And we found that just at the boatyard. Although what we were disturbed to see was that the railing was so heavy that we couldn't look through it, that there were many elements put up against the railing, like the trash cans, that is just common sense to me. I mean, things blow into the water all the time. I'm really for the open railing and doing everything you can do to keep that railing open and not have things put up against it like newspaper or those vending, you know, with the, what is that? That's the real estate ad, newspaper. Circulars and newspapers. Those things drive me crazy. So I think that there is going to be a need for an overall policy. Perhaps it will be under the purview of the harbor director because he manages all this stuff, but I think there needs to be a policy to normalize all of these issues of, you know, furniture and keeping that railing as open as possible and not having it be blocked. And lighting. I think that this is a security issue. I don't want to see a big corner light, you know, turned back against the building that lights up the whole rear with one strong light. I think it would be much nicer to have a low-level ambient lighting, perhaps at waist-height level, that shines down onto the ground. I think that the goals of the lighting should be for safety, for people to be able to see their footing, and for security, for any kind of enforcement officer to be able to glance back there and see if anyone's up to mischief, and that should be the goal of the lighting. I don't think it's appropriate to be putting lights focusing out over the water or down onto the dock. It's not open to the public, right? The floating dock is not open to the public, so that's not our concern. So it's really a public safety issue. Lighting, ADA, the surfaces. I'm a little disappointed that we don't have better documentation to be reviewing. Here today, this is supposed to be a precise plan, and many of the elements that I would expect to see down on paper, you know, as a hard proposal, are being delayed to a future date as you're able to pull your project together. And I understand your timing issue, but it does leave me a little bit uncertain. A lot of the questions that we're asking shouldn't be questions that should be down, like what are the surfaces going to be, how is it going to tie in, what kind, you know, what are the materials going to be. Typically these things would be a little more complete in their proposal at this point. So it's a little weird for me to be up here approving all of this stuff without really knowing. So I'm a little uncomfortable with that. I think that this element of this rear walkway is dance, but I think that I totally understand your issue about the time. You got the pile drivers down there, you know, the access to the waterfront, the disruption of business. You've got to get your permits going, but I'm pretty disappointed that we don't have all this stuff right here tonight. I also will be wanting us to all put together some sort of lighting condition to add under the colors and materials. I'd like to add some description of how we would like the walkway to be continuous. Everybody seems to be in agreement on that. Seamless with the galley, details, lighting, ADA surfaces, and benches and furniture. We might think about giving the staff some guidelines for what kind of benches or furniture to suggest out there. Mm-hmm. Other than that, those are my comments. Does anyone else have responses or additional comments?
I have a question. And this is for those of you who are more experienced than for staff. It seems to me that there are a significant number of questions that have been raised by the commission here, and the ones I just jotted down were lighting, surfaces, railings, and walkway continuity, and outdoor furniture and trash cans. What I'm wondering is, could we approve this contingent upon them submitting to the Planning Commission further documentation that would deal with these issues?
Well, typically when an approval is given, it's given. But if the applicant wants to come back and discuss with the Planning Commission what they intend to do in the way of materials, benches and trash containers, which haven't been a part of previous lateral access ways, then that's possible.
Well, they have been because they're out there. I mean, I've sat on one.
Yes, that might be true, but they're not necessarily been a requirement of past ones. The applicants have proposed some.
But I'm assuming they've been in the plans, even if they weren't
plans,
required, that
yes.
They were diagrammed out someplace.
Some have done that.
Kathy's reason.
Yes, Kathy.
Thanks for having me back up. Just a couple things. I have a concern about the trash can and the benches, because here's what we're dealing with right now. Part of the reason we don't have all the materials before you, because this company, Seagrate, that what we're working with the engineer that we're concerned about is we're going to have a 10-foot wide lateral access way. if we go with the C-grade system, it's a grading system, little squares, and they're going to be open. So you could actually stand on the grate and drop something, and it'll go right through to the bay. So what the engineer and I have been discussing is also public safety. We were trying to design the area between the building and before we get to the grading system as a solid surface. So if somebody with a cane, a woman in high heels, or something isn't forced to walk over the grading system, so we didn't want to propose to put anything up against the building only because we wanted a swath of this solid decking for somebody to walk on. Now, the Coastal Commission is going to be also driving the width of these grading systems. They're going to want as much as possible. So right now we're only looking at a 2-foot strip along the side of the building. There will be a solid deck. So I had a concern about requiring trash cans and benches because then we're eliminating this area that would have a solid decking if the Coastal Commission is going to be telling us we need to have as much in grading. So we're going to be kind of in a problem there. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention to see if there's a way that we could try to work it out. If we have more room with a solid decking so we could put benches in, I think that might be something. Sure. Because the trash can is going to take up quite a bit of room too. And I don't know, also, I'm unclear as far as the Coastal Commission permit that we're going to be issued, whether we're going to be allowed to put anything out there also. So just we could be concerned about if the Coastal Commission says, no, you can't put anything out there, I don't want to have the city permit in conflict with the Coastal Commission permit on that one, too. So this is just quickly, just want a little couple thoughts and just see if we can try to design something that we could work around all that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anybody have any comments or about her points?
I understand the comments that the applicant's representative has made, and I certainly don't want to put these people in a box, but I'm sensitive to the comments that I've heard from Commissioner Teft and the chair. I'd like to have a little bit better idea as to what we're going to end up with, what the final project is. So, you know, I'd like to be able to give the applicant an approval and let them move forward, but I think it might be well taken for some additional information to come back to the Planning Commission. And I guess I would...
Action being taken by the Planning Commission to approve it or not. So at that point, do we notice it as to these fine details?
Yeah, I think sure. I don't have any problem with that.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is really important. Mm-hmm. This is,
I do, too.
This is our primo best places mm-hmm. in town, and we want it to be as nice as possible. And I think that taking some time to think through the conflict between the walkway and being able to have a bench, or can we have a bench, that's a question to ask them. What if it's a cantilevered bench and it doesn't actually touch the deck, you know? I mean, if these... elements are allowed or not allowed. Now's the time to find out, and now's the time to plan for how they would be situated on this walkway. So I don't think just saying, oh, we're not going to do that, we didn't think we wanted any lighting. I really think this is the time to really make these decisions. And I think that I feel like I would be letting down my responsibility if I don't see it through. So I personally would like to have this come back. I don't have any problem at all with giving you an approval for what we've seen. But for all of these elements that we don't see any details for, I'd really like to see it come back to us. I mean, go ahead and build the floating dock. Go ahead and put the walkway in. Work out the grading system. The railing looks fine. But what about all the rest of these issues that we're talking about? The lighting, the safety issue, accommodating the people who use the access with things like trash containers and benches. Those are all just public access way elements.
Can I ask you a question
before? Sure.
And the open access way.
I meant to ask you when I was up here just a minute ago. I was kind of, I'm not really clear what you mean about a seamless walkway. What we've got proposed is if we put in, I have to put in a ramp because of the elevation difference. We are going to make it a part of the boardwalk, so it's all one affair, but it'll just be sloped, so there'll be we'll be meeting the galley at the right level. Is that what you mean by seamless? I guess we're going to do that so that it's
go ahead.
That's my My interpretation of seamless is same materials, same guardrail, same open grading that is amenable to looking through. And when you look down it, you would say that's a continuous walkway made of the...
Looking to the engineer to solve that problem, whether it's going to be a wood deck or precast concrete, that's going to be best used with this situation. So I might not be able to come back and tell you that if the galley's putting in wood, that we're going to be able to put in wood. We've got to figure out what's the best way to accomplish putting in any kind of panels that would translucent panels that the Coastal Commission has required on us for this project, and what makes sense, and the placement of the panels and the links, and so a lot of that's going to be driven by the
I think we're at least I am aware of that, and I'm sensitive to those concerns, but a precise plan addresses those concerns,
right?
And so it seems to me that if we want you to get this thing moving, and we don't want to hold you up, and we want to make sure that the bay is not impacted any more than it's absolutely necessary, but on the continuing that thought, we still want to make sure that the end product is going to be what we visualize that it should be.
So I guess I'm not quite understanding totally. Are you asking that we do the same materials as the galley then? Or so do I need to go back to my engineer and say the only thing that we can put in there is what the galley's putting in?
I don't think so. But
okay.
I do think that you can come back to us and tell us what you're going to do.
And how it will relate with what the galley has done. So that you have the unfortunate situation of being the monkey in the middle, you know. So you have to respond to things that have gone ahead of you. And so what we would like you to do is to respond to what's on each side of you and not pretend as though you're building completely out of context, but to link the two together.
Mm-hmm. And we will do that. The boatyard's got brick, so whatever connection is the engineer designs to make this lateral access way and meet up with the brick at the boatyard will be seamless. And I'm going to have to leave it up to the engineer to be able to design and do whatever needs to be done to make that a seamless transition, and by the same token at the galley. So
well,
it's a technical building permit, I think, kind of the issue
technical. Helpful here in, you know, constructive view, and just to integrate it, good word, and to just leave it loose like that and to see what your designers can come up with and, you know, challenge them to make this attractive as well as functional and meeting the specifications. Our goal here is to make this look really cool.
That's what our goal is, too. And that's why we wanted to put the same railing the galley's putting in.
Absolutely.
So we provide that continuity. And there's really not much left other than, you know, the decking material and now lighting this evening. So I don't really have a whole lot more. And I can't do anything with the width. I
understand. They said
10 foot. That's it. So
right. So, lighting. You still have to do your exterior materials on the building. We haven't seen those. They're going to be going to the staff. We see that here in the conditions.
We're not changing the existing building.
It says compliance of all exterior colors, materials. All of these things are going to be going to the public services director for final approval. So
the existing building is going to remain as it is with the existing building. The little hole where the gangway is now is going to be the same as the existing building, so there's no changes. I didn't bring anything forward to you because it's an existing building. We're not making any other we're not planning any changes.
Okay. But if there's something that can be done in an exterior treatment that would lend that continuity, that might be something to consider if you can't do it in the decking. So I guess I want to hear you say we'll do our best, and what I'm hearing you say is don't put us in a box. So
well, I guess I'm questioning because I'm a little kind of confused about the steps that I'm taking. The existing building is going to be You know, the existing building, we're not planning on changing the color of it or anything like that.
Okay.
Between the Otter Rock and the galley, there's an open space. So that's where they're parking from the Embarcadero all the way to the bay. You're going to have a view corridor. So we're not going to be, the buildings aren't going to be matched up to each other. So we don't really have anything to match up with a galley other than the railing and potentially the decking materials. And now, so what I'll bring, what you're asking me to bring back to you is the decking materials and the lighting, and to see if I can go with the same type of lighting that the galley's putting in with them. And
I mean, like we said, we don't have full-size drawings. We cannot visualize this. All we have are these computer, or these axonometric drawings
that I totally understand what you were saying, because it was just not coming through clearly. You know, there was just a little bit of a disconnect here, and I just wanted to make sure.
Does anyone else have any clarification they could offer to the applicant?
I have a couple of specific, you know, because I think what Kathy's asking is, tell me what the specific issues you are that you want me to address. One of the questions that I would like to ask is, currently there's a wall at the end of the accessway behind the boatyard, okay, where your side door is,
right,
which was white. Now it's been painted yellow that coordinates with the boatyard, okay.
Right.
But I don't know. But now you're opening it up so that the public can go around the rear of the restaurant. And I don't honestly, because you can't go there now, I don't know what that looks like. You know, color wise, I don't know if that's the same yellow or if it's a different color or if it's going to be the same yellow, because. Yeah, you're not changing it, but you're now making it accessible to the public. So the coordination of appearance may be more of an issue simply because people are going to be able to see it now. And the same with the other side of the building. What I recall now is that there's sort of, and this is from memory, is that there's sort of a wall, and then it's closed off on the galley side. There's a wall, a fence, basically, across there. And what you're telling me is that fence is going to go away. That's going to become a parking lot and view corridor. So I guess, you know, one of the questions that I am kind of asking is, okay, well, since that building is now going to be opened up to be sort of a public view, which it isn't now, what does that part of the building look like? You know, how is that going to appear to the public, and how is that going to coordinate with the galley on the other side? Just kind of a visual idea of what this is going to look like with all the new access, which is basically what we're talking about. We're talking about putting a lot of people in places that they don't go now, essentially.
Right. The fence that's there that you're talking about is the galley's fence.
It's the galley's fence. But what I'm saying is that the side of your building is now, you can't see it. Okay.
Right.
The public can't see it. Now they're going to be able to see it, and nobody knows what that looks like, either the public or us. You know, so it's like, okay, what are we going with this access? What exactly are we going to be giving people access to? You know, is it something that's going to be attractive, or is it something that's, you know, gee, we wish we hadn't opened that up, you know, kind of thing.
A lot more renderings, visual. I mean, for a precise plan, this is lean.
I think, Kathy, we want to feel comfortable with what we're buying, you know, and what we're going to end up with, I think. And we're not trying to put you in a box, but there are some unknowns that we don't feel comfortable with.
Okay. Thank you
so much. Okay, so where does that leave us? What's our strategy? If we like the project, we don't want to slow them down, but we want to come back and see these details.
How about a condition of approval that's added on that says something like this, and you could amend it how you will. The applicant shall submit information on benches, surface materials, lighting, trash containers, and the appearance of the existing Otter Rock building from the north for planning commission approval.
How about adding railing into there, too?
Oh, railing.
Yeah. I'd just say outdoor furniture as a general.
Yeah, I wouldn't itemize that we are requiring trash can benches or anything, but if they're going to put them in, we want to look at what they're going to be.
Well, it just says for planning.
Maybe just pedestrian amenities would be a good term.
For planning commission approval. So
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
you could just say, okay, no, it's out of there. If Coastal doesn't want it, it's gone.
Yeah.
And Greg, appearance of the existing building from the north and from the west, because the west
north
is where
west.
The lateral access.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the view from the water if I were in a kayak or on a boat on the water looking back at this, looking up under that. I want to be sure that it looks clean and tidy and not a place that will be hard to get to take care of it, maintain it. I don't want there to be weeds and trash collecting there. So when I think of landscaping, I'm not thinking only of plant material, but actually how the site is treated, how it's finished.
Having spent a lot of time out there in a kayak, kind of floating around under some of those docks, there's not a dock out there that would meet the requirements for neatness or cleanliness. It's just kind of grubby under there. And I don't know if that's the nature of docks or if maybe we need to refer that to the Harbor Commission to look at, but there's not a good looking underneath dock out there. Period, end of sentence.
Doesn't look very good under my house either.
Yeah. Well, some look better than others.
That's
I think.
True. You know, under the house doesn't look so good.
I can look good from all vantage points.
I think what I was saying is that it could certainly be an issue, but not just with the Otter Rock.
No.
I don't think we want to hold them responsible for how it looks out there. I think if you're in a small boat, it looks much different than if you're down in a kayak underneath. Mm-hmm. But there's certainly an element of neatness and cleanliness and that kind of thing. You know, trash that floats around and the styrofoam cups float nicely out there. So, you know, it's definitely an issue that needs to be raised, just like the who's going to take care of this ramp and make sure that it's safe and who's liable for all of these walkways out there. But I think that's way beyond our purview at this point. Hmm. I mean, we may want to recommend it to somebody else, but I don't think asking them to keep it clean under their dock is part of our job.
You know, I just like to say that what's evolving down there on the Embarcadero is really, to an increasing degree, a pedestrian environment. We now have many, many shops which come out into common courtyards and restaurants, the same thing, and it just encourages people after you finish your meal to go out and walk along this lateral access way or walk along the street and you know, these sorts of issues are not just important to the Planning Commission. They're going to be real important to the businesses in the future. You as a business owner down there, you're going to want to have an access way that is the most attractive, mm-hmm. that brings people in, because more and more in the future, that's the way people are going to be transiting along the Embarcadero. And so... You know, I don't want you to feel put upon because I think that we really have the interest of the Otter Rock at heart, as well as, you know, the overall environment.
Greg, this wording that you proposed to us, would you make that contingent to approval of the building permit? How would you do it so that we would get it back in a timely manner? Yet we would be still part of the approval process, but yet it would not hold up the Otter Rock project.
Well, we could say prior to building permit issuance.
Okay.
But then they might want to change their building permit depending on. You've added here is a review of some details of the project, and those are the things we just listed previously.
And what are we holding up for until those are approved?
The building permit issuance.
And so will that delay? Will that delay their project, or will that?
They could. I don't know how their timing works out. And if we have to get, but we got every 2 weeks, when we have to schedule it. I don't know mm-hmm. when their building permit gets out, when they have to start work, and then if you make any changes, they have to go back and redraw their plans and submit them back again to the plan checks examiner, which takes time.
Could you comment on that? Is there a stage in there where we have an opportunity to review this without delaying your project?
Yeah, I just want to think about that. The engineer's office told me that he was going to try to get the working drawings done early this week. So I'm hoping that with the working drawings getting done, that at least I'll have the answers for you for the decking materials and the grading system, mm-hmm. so we'll know about that. Lighting should be fairly simple. I can call the Andersons architect and ask them what they're doing for lighting and see if there's a way for us to coordinate, mm-hmm. you know, putting in the same kind of lighting issues. I can call the Coastal Commission tomorrow, ask them about the furniture and the trash cans and see if there's anything that prevents us from installing something on the decking.
Do you think that's a red flag to ask them a question like that?
Well, you know, I hate to do something and then violate our Coastal Commission permit. Then, you know, and then they come down on top of us.
Perhaps you could just ask the staff for a clarification as to what you can put out there.
Say, blame it on us. Say the Planning Commission was wondering if there are any public amenities that would be allowable out there. And
okay. Well, I can call them up there tomorrow and ask them and say, you know, we're thinking about, you know, if we had a bench that was attached to the building, maybe not even attached to the deck, would that be allowable? Not considered outdoor dining, just because we're putting some place to sit out there.
Literally a bench, not a table.
Right.
Right. Right. Okay.
See if I can take care of that.
Just blame us.
If I might comment, given the time frames that you've been speaking about and the Planning Commission's desires, maybe it would be best to continue this item to the next meeting because it sounds like it would work well into your plans.
That's what I was kind of thinking. I was thinking that I was just kind of running the thing, and then I can find this. The side of the building, of course, will be same color, too. So
it would be easier to see it than have you say the thing and the color.
But, I mean, if I can get, you know, do that, we'll have the architect do that. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Do that, and it would show the colors on it. So hopefully he could get it done by the next meeting. So I guess what I'm saying is I think I can probably get it all done before the next meeting.
I think great. It seems like it might be easier that for you to just hold off for two more weeks, and then you're out of here, and you don't have to mess with us again. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, well, instead of having to come back and having this hang over your head.
Right. I'm going to have to get the, you know, all the things from the engineers so that I can finish off everything to bring it back to you. I guess is what was going on in the back of my mind. So I guess if you could continue to your next meeting, I think I can pull all the pieces together that I need to bring it back for you. Okay.
I think that's a good solution. Okay. Thank you, Kathy. So, Greg, is that pretty straightforward then? That we're going to continue it to the next.
That's what I suggested.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody wants to make a motion.
Okay. So, anyone make a motion?
I'll move the Planning Commission continue. Item, what is this? CUP 2802 to our next scheduled meeting.
Right, April 18th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thanks, Kathy. Sorry about that, but it'll be good.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you letting them back.
Yeah.
I'm on the water wave, understanding what you want.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It looks great. We're excited. We just want it to be really awesome. Okay. Okay, so I guess we're moving on to the next item on the agenda is old business, and that is the current planning processing list. Do we have any comments or questions? I have one I just would bring to the public's attention that in the second half of this document, our new planning division work program, this is the list of upcoming policy discussions that we're taking on at the urging of the City Council, and our next meeting of April 18th we'll be taking on a discussion of the parking in lieu fees. So sharpen your pencils, come on down. Our initial discussion will be a presentation by staff and a discussion about the existing policies and where we are now, what our programs include.
I don't know at this point. I have to ask Bruce that.
If it's not going to be a joint meeting, is there any way we can get their input on this item?
They don't meet that often. And question B is if they meet between now and then, I don't know the date of the next meeting.
When do they meet, Nancy?
Is it next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday. I guess next Wednesday. I don't know anymore. But I know that they've already put, you know, a lot of time into discussing parking in lieu, and it's been a major issue.
A week from this coming Wednesday.
Yeah, it's second Wednesday, isn't it?
I think it was moved to the second or third. I honestly don't remember.
Okay. But we could benefit from their input, certainly. We don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Well, I would still like to keep it on our agenda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's not going away.
Okay. Well, are there any questions or comments about this this list in general, the project tracking sheet or the planning division work program?
I have a real quickie, and staff should be able. Number one, Chuck Ogle on this 50-space RV park info hold. Isn't that done?
Done? No, it's not approved. There was major environmental issues with this. It had to be worked out along with Coastal, and whether there was a wetland on the property or not. There's three different agencies involved with different methods of determining whether a wetland is or not, so it got quite involved.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, then
I kept wondering what was happening, too, and it just took a long time.
And then number 17, Michael Koss, we addressed that, and it says continued project back to PC 328. What's going to happen on that? Now what?
The City Council has directed to come back to the Planning Commission for further review.
When will we get that? Do you have, in other words, is that going to be thrown at us in the very near future as well?
I'm not certain. It depends on how much the applicant might change the project or not and how long that takes to get his
plans. So he hasn't responded to the City Council's edict? And
not yet, no. Not that I know of.
Okay. That's all.
Anyone else?
Yeah, with regard to the parking in lieu issue, is that correct that we're going to do it on two different meetings? Because I only see one date scheduled here.
Just 4/18, and then it's targeted to go to the council on May 23rd.
Yes, one date.
The previous issue that went to the council concerning granny units, I think, went extremely well. Right. And I like that
format.
Well,
me too.
And I don't see any reason why we couldn't apply it here.
Yeah,
I don't think it rules out having another meeting.
Right.
I mean, this is a tentative schedule of how to progress these things.
Yeah,
but if we do the two different sessions, I would like to expand the first session a little bit to add some general discussion on our part as to or really more a dialogue with the staff as to how we're approaching the problem, because parking in lieu is, to me, a much more open-ended issue than second units, which was sort of self-contained. Mm-hmm. And to me, it makes a lot of difference for the specific provisions of the in lieu program what the environment is that program exists in. Does it exist, you know, in the face of an aggressive parking management program with lots of parking demand reduction? So is that going to be implemented? Are we looking at are we looking at a real well-organized parking management district that this is going to be coordinated? Because I can't just personally, at least at this point, it's hard for me to envision getting a real clear idea about parking in lieu fees without sort of knowing where we're going with some of this other stuff.
We had a discussion about whether or not this was going to be parking in lieu fees and a parking management plan, and we were told not.
That's too big
to take off at this time, and that there is a urgency to reviewing the in lieu fees in particular.
Yeah, my understanding is this was going to be more limited. I certainly see the need to deal with parking management. That's been around a long time, and it's never been resolved. I mean, I dealt with this as a planning commissioner in the 80s.
Yeah.
And so it's still kind of hanging out there. But I think the council directed us to deal with parking in lieu fees. Are we going to bump that figure up? Are we, you know?
Council actually instructed us to deal with the whole issue of parking. Because I remember parking structures was part of it. How funded. I mean, there was a lot in there, which is okay. You know, I mean, I'm not advocating But all I'm saying is if we're not going to deal with it, then...
Business owners, and if we're charging them enough or if they need to be charged more.
Right.
Now, that was my understanding. That's what we're supposed to be talking about. I can hear what you're saying in that, all right, this is really part of a whole bigger thing. If they're going to pay, say, $30,000 a space instead of $5,000 or $6,000, where's the money going to go and what's the parking situation going to be? But I don't think that was our directive. It may have been.
But not only that, Nancy, a valid and the most responsible decision as to what that in-lieu parking fee should be is, in fact, partly dependent on those other issues.
Right.
So I would say that we're already broaching the discussion and that we should...
I would ask staff, are they planning on coming back with a draft for us like they did on the granny units for in-lieu parking? Bruce Ambo seems to think that this is the best way to approach. I really like having talking paper in front of me rather than having a very general, opaque, foggy discussion out there that could encompass a lot of these peripheral issues. Are you going to have a draft for us?
I'm not preparing that, but Bruce hasn't gone into any details in this, but I believe he does want to present an approach.
Yeah. And I think that would be fine.
Yeah.
And that would help us format our discussion.
I think that the whole thing will evolve and that we should just open the discussion and hear where we start. I personally have never had a full overview of the parking in lieu program and all its repercussions and where the ins and outs of it lie and what's been done and what hasn't been done. I'm interested to hear all this. So I think that there's going to be a lot to chew on right there, for as far as I can see.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's very reasonable to assume that we won't finish that in one meeting.
Yeah, I absolutely expect we won't.
Right.
I think, though, that what we're really talking about, and Bob's getting to, I hope I understand this, is more a discussion of a parking policy for the city. Not, I mean, the parking in lieu fee is one thing. We either charge them $5,000, $10,000, $30,000, whatever we charge a business per whatever it is, I can't remember at the moment, for parking spaces. All right, that's one thing that you can just deal with now. I mean, we're not charging enough, our land is worth more, but then you get into the whole issue of, all right, we have the money, what are we going to do with it? Does this,
if you don't, see, if you, historically, if you'd all forgive me, this is
we
the
need
discussion
to stop,
we're going to have next week. And
okay.
So if you would forgive
two
me
weeks,
for stopping you.
And all I was suggesting was that at the first meeting we get into some of these issues to the history.
Absolutely right. I agree with that. So hopefully, I understand Bruce is under the weather this evening and he'll see this little bit of our discussion.
I'm sure he's watching us at one.
I hope he's watching the basketball. I hope he's watching the basketball game.
That's why he's under the weather.
Go Fighting
Illini. He's watching the ball game.
Okay. So is that it on the current planning processing list? Okay. New business? We have none. And so that brings us to adjournment. We'll adjourn to the next Planning Commission meeting here at the Vets Hall, which is 209 Surf Street. It will be Monday, April 18th at 6 p.m. In addition to this, we've been holding a Planning Commission caucus at noon of the same day on Monday the 18th, held at the planning offices on Shasta Avenue, and the public is welcome to attend. We didn't have cookies today, so I don't know what...
Bruce has that rare NCAA disease.